Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Georgie Courage-Cole. This week I'm joined just by one other, by my co-host on this podcast, Charlotte Collins.
Hello.
Hi, Charlotte. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's weird, isn't
it? Can you say Happy New Year?
I think you've got it. Well, there's got to be some positivity, hasn't there? Yes. Happy New Year.
Happy
2021.
I know we sort of thought we'd do this together and ease the workload on everyone else.
Well, and kick off the year with a bit of positivity.
I know.
A bit of a fresh start.
I'm struggling to be positive today. I'm sort of laughing, not crying. Last night, I decided I couldn't cry because my children were crying. Oh. So I had to laugh instead. Bless. It's Tuesday, and we obviously found out yesterday evening. I think Boris Johnson is the most hated prime minister ever to rule this country. I mean, Otto, my son, was taking him down last night. It's all Boris's fault. I'm going to write to Boris. I'm going to tell him that I hate homeschooling.
Is this because they can't go to school?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. I mean, nice that they like school.
Or slash they hate being at home. I mean, there's two ways
to look at it.
Is it all bad? You get to hang out with
Is it that bad?
Apparently it is that bad. Yeah. And my children love school. So that's great. You know, yeah, there is a silver lining. Yeah. We found out last night that we are back into lockdown number 3.
I mean, I know there was lockdown 2, but lockdown 2 didn't really feel...
I don't know when that was.
That was November. And I just don't remember. It was like Christmas was on the horizon. Yeah. It was only 4 weeks. So I don't really count. This
was
feels a lot
weeks?
Like March. Yeah, 4 or 5. It was super quick. Whereas this feels like March again, doesn't it?
I know, somebody said March, it will start to ease. Someone else said to me, schools will go back after February half term.
Yeah, well, they're not reviewing it until the first day of February half term.
Is that right?
Yeah, which is coincidentally Ben's 30th birthday. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, my children haven't gone back to school yet.
As in they're still on holiday, technically.
Still on holidays. Next Wednesday the 13th. My 9-year-old was so upset that homeschooling starts on her birthday. She was like, Mommy, I mean, can they just start it one day later so that I don't have to homeschool on my birthday? It's hard for everybody, but it is really hard for mothers. I mean, there's someone in our team right now, she knows who she is. She probably won't even listen to this, but she's got so much to do. Her au pair is in Spain. She's got a toddler and...
Well, she's got 3 under 6,
right? She's got 3 under 6.
And a full-time job.
Killer. And no help.
And there's so many people in that position.
I actually posted a link to a petition on my Instagram this morning, which prioritise key workers, teachers, pupils for the vaccine. Yeah. Someone sent me a screen grab last week with the list of priorities for the vaccine. It's like first on the list, the over 95s. Second on the list, the over 90s. Third on the list, the over 85s. I don't mean to be harsh. On Christmas Eve, by the way, this was not my idea. This is a friend's idea. But on Christmas Eve, a friend told me about this organization where you delivered hampers of food and stockings to the elderly and people on their own.
That's
so
nice.
Anyway, we got in the car and we went and picked out and we delivered
nice.
6. Yeah, I mean, it makes me sound like
that's lovely.
It wasn't my idea. I copied a friend and I thought it would be a really good thing for
and
children.
And you did it with the, I was going to say, you did it with the kids.
You did it with the children.
That's so
I
nice.
Mean, you know, I'm desperately sad for these people on their own. And that is shit because this whole thing is shit. But, you know, my in-laws, for example, I mean, they're in their 70s. They're fine at home.
Yeah.
And they can play bridge with their friends. You know, there's people in our team who've got 3 children under 6 at home and are trying to do a full-time job.
Yeah, so true.
Everyone, each to their own.
I was going to say, I think you can probably make a compelling case. My parents were laughing. They were like, we're going to be out and about. If you get a vaccine passport, you know, you can only travel with a vaccine or go to restaurants, then it's going to be all the 70-80-year-olds. Us 30 and 40-year-olds, we're stuck at home.
They're going to be having a merry old time and we're going to be locked up with our children, alcoholics. I mean...
15 stone heavier. There's a reason I can't quite sit properly on this chair. These trousers do not fit like they used to.
Charlotte, wow. I know. God, don't. Poor James, for everything. I'm on the subject of becoming an alcoholic. I'm actually...
I actually am. I'm now an alcoholic.
I'm actually doing Dry January.
What?
Maria! Oh, editor has just laughed out loud.
But I don't believe you.
It's the hardest I've ever heard you laugh.
Why? I don't believe
because
you.
Because we've
doing
been
it.
Living through Corona since March. have to confess that I was going to start on the 1st of January. And then...
Did you do that thing where you started on the 4th?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
right. I did. So hang on. When you say you're doing dry January, today's the 5th. So you've been 24 hours sober.
Well, a bit more.
When did you start?
I had one gin and tonic on Sunday.
Yeah, so you got 24 hours. You got nearly 48
okay,
hours.
Okay, well, I didn't break it last night is the main
well,
thing.
Well done. Why?
A few friends messaged me and said, if you ever needed a reason to break dry January, yeah, then this is it. But actually, I said to my husband last night, I know I'm doing a month now, but I'm not ready to crack.
Why have you chosen?
24 hours in, I'm not ready to crack.
well done.
It was a Monday. Anyway, on Saturday, we sat down. I was like, it's Saturday night. Why would we start dry January on a Saturday? Yeah. Let's start on Monday.
But why are you doing it at all?
Because, like so many mothers... and people at home.
I'm always drunk.
I'm always drunk. But you know, drinking every night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And before you know it,
it's too much.
You know, there were times in the summer where we'd just have a bottle of wine in the evening. Yeah. And that would be totally normal. And that's not totally normal, yeah, to have that every night. And it's definitely not totally normal to have that on a Monday and a Tuesday. And I would say, you know, I like my G&Ts.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to quit. I'm going to be stocking up on my lockdown non-alcoholic Picantes.
I'll be really fascinated to see how this works out, because I think you're both a massive gin lover and somebody who doesn't like to be proven wrong. So I'll be really interested to see which one wins.
I said to my friend, can you send me some non-alcoholic lockdown liquor? Because then I'll post it on my Instagram and then I've put it out there and then I've got to stick to it. And I've said it on the podcast.
So I'm kind of doing the same, not intentionally, but only because it's the 5th and I haven't drunk since New Year's Eve. So for on the weekend, I was a bit like, oh, well, maybe I can keep this going. But I don't think
so. When was New Year's Eve? It was Friday, wasn't it?
Thursday night.
Oh, so you
and it's Tuesday,
long.
So I've done 6 days.
Oh, Charlotte,
which is quite
well
good,
done.
I know. I'm quite gel. I feel quite pleased with myself.
So tell me about your Christmas. Tell me what you got up to, ha ha.
Christmas was lovely. I did have 3 weeks off. I finished work on the 12th of December. So I do feel very rested, actually, and almost more so than I think I would have done if we've gone on holiday. I very rarely have taken time off to just hang out at home. So
but that's
that
the nicest
nice
thing about Christmas always, yeah. I think, is that, yeah, when do you have holiday and just
chill? So the 3 weeks was initially supposed to be 3 weeks in Chile, which was quite quickly out the window. Then it was supposed to be a week in Barbados, which was also out the window. But anyway, not meant to be for either of us.
Quite a lot of people are in Barbados.
I know. The reason we chose not to go was because you needed to test before you went, fine. And then you needed to test again on arrival. And if on arrival you tested positive, then you would have to go into a government facility until you tested negative. Really, no thanks to that. It was not worth the risk. But anyway, that's fine. We went to Soho Farmhouse for a few nights, which was very nice. And then we went to Heckfield Place for a few nights.
Have you been
really
before?
Nice. I've been to both before. It's really lovely.
But conversely, I do think Heckfield Place reminds you that Soho Farmhouse is fun.
The conclusion I came to is that Farmhouse is for your friends,
yeah,
and Heckfield Place is for your husband.
Agreed, because I went to Heckfield with a friend, yeah, a girlfriend.
Yeah, no,
and
dry.
We were definitely having way more fun than everybody, yeah, else.
When we left Farmhouse, Ben was like, you know, why are there no just like Claridges in the countryside? Like, that's all I would love to find that. Heckfield is that. You know, it's all the service you would want from a lovely city hotel, but just outside, and we were there midweek.
The clever thing about it is it's sort of rustic, but impeccable. It's basically, yeah, Lou's Nirvana,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that clever thing of not being bling like, yeah, Claridge's.
Not at all.
But being polished,
yeah,
and being in the country. And
exactly.
That's clever, isn't it?
It's not flashy. It's not in your face, but it's also not like stuffy. And you, yeah, know, it's just, yeah, it's perfect.
Anyway, it's bloody expensive, but frankly, we're all saving right now.
This is the thing. We literally haven't been on holiday basically all year. So there we go. We can afford to splash out Christmas. So actually, it was lovely. Obviously, a bit boring at times.
Yeah.
I think the benefit to having children in this time, if you want to see it this way, is that on the weekends, you then have people to occupy. Like, you have to do stuff, right? You have to kind of get up and, you know, whatever that is, create
go to
activities.
Park for the 19th,
yeah,
time.
I'm sure it
in
has
a month.
Its downsides too. But when it's just the two of you, you wake up on a Saturday, or, you know, if you've got holiday, you wake up and you're like, right, well.
No, but do you know what you get to do? You get to lie in bed all day and watch the entire series of Bridgerton. I said to my nanny, I'm lucky enough to have a live-in Australian nanny right now. And I said, have you watched Bridgerton? She's like, oh yeah, I watched it in a day. I'm like, in a day? Like, in a day, I'm still going. I've been watching it for a month.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite. I've been watching it for weeks. And
I have to say, the flip side is that I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe the two of us just have to sit here on the sofa again for another 8 weeks. Oh, that is so boring. But I'm with you.
Yeah.
I can see the benefits of it. 3 weeks off work is very nice. I feel very rested and ready to go again.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know what? It was a break, yeah, from a shitty year, and I got to that point. It's so basic, isn't it? How easy it is to recharge, in a way. We didn't go away. Mm. We didn't do anything crazy. But I got to that last week of work where I was like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. And I don't want to make this decision and like park, park, park. Mm. And I didn't want to think about the next thing we're launching, yeah, or our approach to marketing or our whatever. And then suddenly, as of yesterday, I felt ready to have these conversations and make these decisions. I mean, what's gone by? Like 10 days or something?
But you go into survival mode. Like, that's the only way I know how to describe that build up to Christmas as well. You know, especially for us, because it's so hectic. It's really nice to get that feeling of motivation back, isn't it? You feel like yourself again.
Yes, I do, because I didn't know my name by the break. And, for us, it was, I mean, Christmas is our busiest time of year, obviously, at Sherlock's. Plus, Christmas happened so much later this year because of that November lockdown. And we had commercial activity running right up until...
We normally get a break. Normally by December it dies down, but
this year it didn't, did it? No. Plus 3 children, plus a child with a birthday, plus school, plus the admin that comes out of life, and it was just
it's a lot.
Too much. So God, I needed a break so badly, and just to do something else, even if it was just within my own four walls.
People, I'm sure, will wonder how you're feeling about work. You know, obviously last year was so challenging in so many ways. How do you feel about 2021 for SL?
I feel a bit sad. Look, there's loads to be excited about. I think everyone was really buzzing for a new start. I mean, it's for everybody that works, right? I think we're in a really good place. I've had quite a few messages overnight of people saying, how are you? I thought of you and all your wonderful team when I heard the news of the new restrictions. Chin up, you all have much work to do. You are loved, and I'm here if you need a shoulder to cry on, which just says to you, I don't know who this woman is, but she messaged me on Instagram.
So nice.
And just someone saying, Sherlock's is the tonic we so desperately need right now. I read your emails every day and they're filled with much needed distractions from the realities of the world. Keep pushing through this tough time, Sherlock's. You're the perfect escapism right now. So I had loads of messages. I feel like, right, we've got a job to do.
I was gonna say, it kind of adds to the pressure a bit as well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I started saving all the emails and the messages we were getting towards the end of the year, people saying thank you to your team and thank you for the show and for behind the scenes and all the content that we produced. And I sort of feel like we played a bit of a role for people. And I'm really proud of that and surviving last year. And actually, we've come out of it in terms of the business and our, you know, strength as a business in a really good place. Yeah. And despite the shit show that was Q2, when the whole world stopped spending any money, you know, we actually came out of it pretty well.
Yeah. It's hard when you're ready to hit the ground running. It's all these meetings about things that should be happening and how we're so ready to level up this year. And it's frustrating not being able to dive straight into that, isn't it?
But in March we said, right, we're still going to launch the parenting edition. You know, people need it more than ever right now, and that's been a huge success. And we launched Let's Go. I mean, we will continue. We're launching the Gold Edition, which is a weekly supplement for grown-up women. We're launching that in February. That will continue. You know, I think we will. It's amazing what we managed to do, and we've obviously, everybody's proven that in the last year. But I was talking about it with my husband. I don't think anything can be as bad as that first lockdown. I feel like I can't go back to those lows. I hope we will get through it in our own
rally
unique way. And we've got a great team.
We do. We did think we'd have a bit of a look back at 2020, didn't we? And maybe reflect on some of the positive things. So I'll hit you with some quick fire questions. What was your best trend? Were there trends? What was 2020? What did
really
you wear?
I was really struggling with this. One is a cardigan.
It's not a trend, but
it's not a trend. But cardigans have made a real comeback in recent years. Yeah. My mother's always been a fan of a pink cardigan. I've always quite liked a cardigan.
You're talking about a slightly different cardi though to the kind of cashmere M&S that your mum might wear.
I am talking about a chunky cardigan. I'm wearing one today over a nice blouse. I think the great thing about a cardigan is it allows us to get a lot more wear out of our wardrobe all year round. So all those white blouses that I have lining my wardrobe, you know, you can wear them all year if you wear them with a cardigan. And actually being at home every day, I don't think you can wear a sweatshirt every day. You just feel quite slovenly. So I think, again, it allows you to wear something a little bit more dressed up, shall we say, than just sweats. So I've lived in them.
I can't do sweats this time around. Everybody on Zoom yesterday was like, oh, you look so dressed up. I was like, I cannot do it again. I cannot sit in my home, no makeup, hair. I'm going to get up and get dressed every single day this time. I can't do it.
Anyway, I'd say a cardigan. I'm wearing a Stories grey cardigan that I have lived in. I'd wear it every day if I could. Well, the discovery is a cashmere sock. These are the ones we're trading.
And also, can I ask you where they're from? Because Ben has stolen mine and said he likes them so much, he'd like to know where they're from. I haven't even worn them
the
once.
Best. Maria's nodding.
Where are they from?
So we did Christmas hampers instead of Christmas party, and they're from Pears, Scotland, it's called. And they're alpaca, they're not cashmere. So they're a little bit sturdier. Cashmere socks quite often get holes in if you wear them on the floor. These are alpaca. They are so warm and cozy. They're the non-ribbed ones, which I recommend. Anyway, I just think they're the best thing ever. And I really feel the cold. And when I'm at home, I find sometimes when you're just at home sitting, even if your house is warm, you're still cold.
Yeah, so your feet get cold especially,
Favourite trend.
I've got to talk about athleisure. It's really the only massive trend to come out of last year. I'm definitely a fan of the sweatsuit and how it's kind of come into the everyday mainstream and how it's kind of acceptable to wear out and about.
I think it's very millennial Gen Z. I feel like you've got to be very hip and cool at my age to be pulling off a co-ord tracksuit, frankly.
Yeah, agreed. There's probably a bit of an age limit on it. I think I might have even surpassed that. But like a Polly, for example, could look actually really cool.
She looks great. Janine Lennon rocking it. Yeah. All the Lux girls rocking it.
The Hannah Lewis, that kind of
vibe. I mean, Coco, my 9-year-old, for Christmas, got a tracksuit. But she is loving it.
But you could pull off. The other way to do it, slightly more grown up, is the knitted one. Have you seen the new Nina Bing knitted one? It's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's quite doable.
Yeah. I just don't really want to spend money on that stuff right now. I feel like I've been there and done that.
It's also the kind of thing that you'll spend money on now and then look back in 6 months and be like, never want to look at it again. So
I feel like spring, summer, we stopped sort of spending much money on fashion in spring, summer. I really hope that this is the end of autumn, winter, and that by March we're going to be let out and free and we can start shopping.
Yeah, because I really would like some new summer things.
That'd be great to buy some linen caftans and things like that.
Agreed. What was your worst trend?
Well, athleisure. Burn it. Been there, done that.
We're all about dressing up in lockdown 3.0. Best book?
The Glossy Years.
Yeah, I was going to say Where the Crawdads Sing. But we both love both of them. So there we go.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
How good is that book?
The Glossy Years is so much more me. So for years, I didn't read any fiction.
I feel like you've often read, over the years, you've always read like the zeitgeisty one, like the one that everybody's talking
about. Eleanor Oliphant. Yeah. Crawdads. Yeah. There's so much hype around them that I think, right, I'm missing out. I need to read this book. And actually, Crawdads didn't disappoint. And it was brilliant on holiday. And it was a massive page turner. And I haven't read a book that quickly in years. Yeah. So that was heaven. Yeah. So that was great. And remind me who's playing her.
Daisy Edgar-Jones. But the Glossy Years was so good.
The Glossy Years, Nicholas Coleridge. Yeah. I banged on about it. I've read the passage on directions to a weekend house party to several friends. Yeah. It's so funny. It's not for everybody. But he's lived an amazing life. And he's a very good storyteller. And weirdly, obviously, I was really interested. People listening who haven't heard Charlotte and I talk about him already. He was he CEO of Condé Nast UK International? Anyway, he was sort of number two to the new houses. And since then, he's gone on to become, is it chairman of the V&A?
Yeah.
And I'm not hugely into art. But he's such a good storyteller that he made me want to go to the V&A and want to kind of explore art more. So I kind of credit that to him.
And also, whatever you think of him, his role was so esteemed that his stories are just naturally incredible. You know, the Princess Diana stories, the Beckham stories. He did so many incredible things that inevitably is good.
Agreed. And I'm now reading Lady Anne Glenkenner's autobiography, which I'm loving.
She's the character whose husband made her watch him have sex on holiday. Was
it that? On their wedding night, he decided she was crap in bed. So he took her to watch another couple have sex. She was also one of the, it's not a bridesmaid, but the equivalent at the Queen's coronation. She grew up at Hocombe Hall in Norfolk. She's like mega aristocracy, very embedded kind of with the royal family, obviously. She was Princess Margaret's lady-in-waiting. She's an absolute gem.
Good stories to tell, I bet.
Apparently, well, you'll know this because I'm sure you've listened to them, but she narrates it on Audible.
Oh.
And hearing her voice, you know, she's just of another class and generation.
Is that how you're...
I'm not, and I sort of wish I was.
Yeah.
But equally, I'm loving getting into bed at night. And
So
what about you? Best book? Crawdads.
Yeah, Crawdads. I mean, it's embarrassing. I was one of those people who really struggled to read throughout 2020. I kind of read either on my commute or on holiday and basically stop commuting. But I loved Crawdads. I really loved it. Best film? I've got a film to talk to you about because I saw your Instagram this morning, which was Soul.
Have you seen it?
Disney, yeah, I watched it last week.
No way.
Well, I found it a really surprising kids movie. I don't know what kids would take from that film.
No, well, mine, Coco understood it. I don't think Otto quite understood. Mimi didn't have a clue, but was transfixed.
This is the new Disney, or it's new Pixar film. It's on Disney Plus.
Pixar. Disney Plus, best thing ever.
Yeah, amazing. It is amazing.
Give us a synopsis of the film.
So Soul is about a guy who is a bit of a failed jazz musician, but, you know, is completely passionate about it. And on his way to a gig that might make or break his career, falls into a manhole and dies. And his soul goes into this kind of underworld. And it's about, you know, what happens there and his journey trying to make it back to Earth.
It's about souls before they are born onto Earth, isn't it?
Yeah, so he goes to this land of like the baby souls and meets them, and it's about how people develop personalities, and he forms a particular relationship with a soul that is yet to be born as a mentor. Yeah,
it's hard to explain. My husband came down and started watching it kind of an hour in, and I was trying to explain, I was like, that's the soul, and she's a bad soul, and he's a mentor, but shouldn't have been a mentor, and
Blah, it's quite convoluted.
It's quite complicated.
Have you seen Inside Out?
No.
So I thought it would be as good as Inside Out, and it's nowhere near. Inside Out is amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Coco as well. It's from the same.
I haven't watched Coco yet.
I haven't watched that either. Anyway, it is. To me, I love jazz music,
yeah.
And that kept me going. And I think Jamie Foxx is brilliant.
Yeah,
he
amazing.
Narrates the lead, Joe,
yeah.
And we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And it's got a really important life lesson, yeah. Which is like live in the moment.
It's all about, you know, enjoying the little things, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yes. Good
Aww.
For kids. No, so I enjoyed that.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Any other films? I'm trying to think what other films I watched last year. What other films came out? Rebecca was disappointing, but beautiful.
Oh, I didn't watch Rebecca in the end. Oh, you know what came out last year, which I loved, and this is pre-corona, was Emma, which was so good.
I don't think I've seen it.
What, the Anya Taylor-Joy?
No.
Oh. You would absolutely love it. It's absolutely beautiful.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
This Regency genre brings me on to...
Bridgerton. Yes.
You've obviously watched it all.
So where are you up to?
I've watched four.
Okay. Oh, so you're only halfway through. Oh, you haven't even watched the juicy stuff.
My friend
yet.
Described it as Pride and Prejudice meets Gossip Girl with a bit of soft porn thrown into
the mix. Yeah, I think that's a good description.
Which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah. I know you took some umbrage with the historical inaccuracies. I think you
have to
put that aside. I mean, it's such an American take on British aristocracy, isn't it?
Last night I was watching episode four and they suddenly referenced the fact that they're only where they are because the king married a black woman.
Mm.
And so are we just rewriting history?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Are we just accepting that we're casting a black woman as the queen?
Yes.
And a black man as a duke? And I was like, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
This is 2021. And is it right that black actors don't have a part to play in any Regency production
of course
ever?
Not. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's fair, really. So I just thought we were accepting the fact that...
Yes, I agree. It's really weird that they then justified it. Yeah.
Suddenly they then talk about the fact that they're only there because...
I completely agree.
King Ryan, and
I thought it was supposed to be a... Well, this is cool. Let's just cast anyone.
I was just like, yeah, you know...
But then they referenced the skin colour and that made it... Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
I also have a massive issue with the acting.
Anyone specifically?
40% of them are just pretty average.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just think he's so hot. He's so hot. And... I mean, you've got so much goodness to come. He's just amazing.
He's so hot.
Yeah.
She's so not.
I just feel she looks very young. Like next, he's like a man, you know, like a real man. And she looks about 15. I think she actually plays the part really well. Like as in you can see what he would see in her from her personality.
She looks great in Duck Egg Blue. And, you know, she wears some lovely outfits. But she's just, how is the whole of society going nuts?
I don't disagree with that.
Plain Jane Bridgerton.
But like, you know what? I always think that about the casting of Jane in the original Prejudice.
Oh my God.
Like, she's supposed to be like the super hot one.
Always bothers me.
Bang average.
Lizzie
so
was lovely on the other hand.
Yeah, very pretty face.
And can we also talk about the fact that Lord Featherington really needed a bigger part?
Hang on, Lord Featherington. Oh, Ben Miller.
He's so brilliant.
So good.
He just should have had more to say.
He gets bigger.
Oh, does he?
Keep going.
Okay. He's like the father in Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. But no, it definitely develops with
him. He's like Mr. Bennet. Anyway, I think he's brilliant. Someone's in it that I know.
Yeah. Anyway, best TV show of the year?
I think it has to be Unorthodox.
Yeah, that was my answer too.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, if I think really far back, what was in terms of like what was the best produce, not just, you know, the thing
I
enjoyed the
most. Why do you say that?
Because it was both so entertaining, you know, such a good story, such good act. It kind of ticked all the boxes, didn't it? Not too long. I loved it.
I think it was one of the only things I haven't fallen asleep in at all. Even The Loudest Voice, which I loved, and I kind of wrestled in my mind which
was The Loudest Voice? Choose,
about Roger Ailes and Fox.
Oh,
TV
yes, I didn't watch that, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, Charlotte.
I need to.
Russell Crowe, Sienna Miller. Sienna Miller is incredible. It was so good, but I fell asleep in that.
Yeah.
And Unorthodox, I didn't. Really gripping. I don't think I ever picked up my phone. Like, I was, it had pace. Yeah. I feel like with Bridgerton, I was saying to my nanny yesterday, I was like, I can't bear that I know that there's not going to be a resolution in the end, yeah, and they're not going to get together. And I don't know what happens in the end, by the way. Maybe they do. Oh, I hope they do.
Wait to see.
But like, I just love, you know,
yeah,
if something has an end, that's just great, isn't it?
It was really nice and concise. Like, it was four episodes. You weren't like, oh, that's good. When, you know, it wasn't some big commercial.
Four?
Yeah, it was just four. And it wasn't some big commercial endeavor where you're like, oh, they're going to drag it out because they want to make another season. It was just a perfect little hole.
They're making another season.
Of Unorthodox. Yeah. Oh, interesting. What, yeah, like a follow-up of what happens
no
next?
No idea, but I know there's another one coming.
I thought it was a really perfect thing. And that's a shame, actually. They should leave it alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliant. Such good acting. Best recipe. Come on, Chef Coleridge Cole. What have you been making this year? Is lobster tinge soup going to come up here? Yeah, you chose this. Come on. What have you got?
I do.
Crab on rocket? Brazaola? What about drinks? Have you been drinking anything different this year, aside from lockdown liquor? You experimented with your cocktails at all?
I put one on our Instagram in the summer, which was gin, tonic, mint, elderflower liqueur.
Ooh, lovely.
It was really good. Mm, so it was nice. Like a gin and tonic, but with a bit of elderflower liqueur and a bit of mint. It was excellent.
Very nice.
What about you?
It was just anything going. We drink a lot of wine in my
Do
house.
You?
So yeah.
I drink a lot of bubbles. I've got a bit of penchant for champagne.
Do you know?
And I hate Prosecco. I'm happy with cheap champagne, actually. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy with cheap champagne, but I put elderflower liqueur in it, Saint-Germain, which I often talk about.
Really nice.
So we either have cassis, which is blackcurrant, chambord, which is, I think it's raspberry.
To pimp your cheap champagne.
Yeah, to pimp your cheap champagne. And actually, I like the sweetness. It helps you drink it quicker. What are you eating at the moment?
Did
you
eat?
You ate a lot over Christmas, you said.
Ate a lot.
Do you have turkey at Christmas?
We do a turkey and a goose. Double whammy, yeah. What did you do?
Turkey. We had a turkey crown.
Nice.
Actually, with loads of pancetta all over it, which was the best bit.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I actually didn't touch the turkey this year. Got no interest.
I had very little. I mean, I way prefer a sausage and a bacon, whatever it's called.
Yeah, me too. Goose and stuffing. Much better. But what am I eating? I'm literally eating everything. No, we are on cooking for us is quite associated with like term time. It's like what we do during the week. So over the Christmas period, we literally didn't cook once. Which meant that by the 1st of January, I was like, right, that's it. No more takeaway. You know, time to get back to it. So we are on a bit of a mission, actually, to, I think pre-corona, you know, we'd be at home maybe like two nights a week to cook. And then maybe one night, you know, one of us might be in by themselves the other night. Yeah. So you have a bowl of pasta or whatever. But, you know, we didn't like sit and cook together. Obviously, life is very different now. So we are on a kind of let's make dinners more interesting whilst cooking mission. So we actually wrote a list this week of all the dinners that we know that we like and we like to cook, you know, that at 7 o'clock when we shut our laptops, we can rustle up. So we're trying.
I like that idea of thinking of all the things that you like, but you sort of think around.
Because sometimes, you know, it gets to dinner time or even lunchtime, we're like, what are we gonna have for dinner? And you just have a complete mind blank and end up with the delivery.
Every day.
So I recommend writing a list. It's nothing very exciting. It's things like fish tacos and meatballs. But
well, what's on your list? I want to know.
Okay, so there's fish tacos, which
what
is like
fish goes in your fish tacos?
Any white fish.
Lettuce and
with cabbage. You need a fruit, you need like a mango or a pineapple.
Okay.
With some Greek yogurt, a bit of Tabasco, some Avo.
You talked about that before.
Yeah, I talk about it all the time. So good. And then we also got really into like a Mexican, it sounds really good, like a bolognese taco as well. So like a bit of bolognese in a wrap, bit of cheese, sour cream, Avo, also so good.
But that's got nachos vibes, that works,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
It's like American take on Mexican.
Nice.
Jamie Oliver meatballs, which taste exactly like the Ciccone's meatballs. So that was a win, did that this week.
Why, what's the magic ingredient in a Jamie Oliver
Lots
meatball?
Lots of cheese on top, bake it with some mozzarella.
Really healthy.
Really healthy
dining.
You know, but it's just, you know, have that with a salad, it's fine, balance it out. So those are the things we're cooking. I bought the new Nigella Repeat book. It's more like her writing about food plus some recipes.
Nice.
So really lovely for a read. Less so if you just want some like, you know, bash them out recipes. But yeah, really good gift.
My hardest thing is I find I get to sort of 6 o'clock and I just want to graze.
Yeah.
And then I eat so many snacks. We have this outrageous crisp cupboard with healthy in inverted commas crisps like pop chips and popcorn.
Our pop chip habit is actually a bit worrying.
Yeah. And pretzels and all these things. And before I know, I've had half tub of hummus.
I know.
A load of pretzels and pop chips. And I don't really want any supper. So I totally ruined it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I need to just like lock myself in the cupboard between 6 and 8 and then enjoy my supper.
But that's the time I'm starving hungry.
I know.
5 till 7.
So should one just eat at 7?
Maybe.
That's really what
I'm like shut your laptop and
eat. But it's quite difficult to find the time to cook by then. Tell me about your Christmas presents.
Ooh, Christmas presents.
I can see you flashing through the camera some very nice rings.
Yes.
Were they Christmas presents?
They were. So my grandma passed away.
I'm such a magpie. I love it. No, straight away.
My grandma passed away at the very beginning of first lockdown. She was 99. No cute tragedy. But she died in April and had, a mega collection of costume jewellery. Like, serious. And nothing hugely expensive, but, you know, she was really into rings and big rings, and as am I. And my mum is not. So that bodes really well for me. I'm going to put my descriptive skills to the test. But there's an anthracite, quite angular. You're better at this than me. How would you describe that?
Well, it's green. Yeah. It's a sort of dark green. It's quite Monica Vinader-esque.
Yeah.
But it's more glamorous than that.
Yeah.
Isn't
it's
it?
Like a. It's almost. It borders cocktail ring, but it's not quite blingy enough that you couldn't get away with it in the day.
Cocktail ring meets a modern day signet ring. It's flat across the top. It's,
yeah.
It's got edges, hasn't it?
Yeah. And then, but it's raised.
God, it's stunning. Yeah, but it's cool, isn't it?
And then there's another one, which is a kind of gold twisted thing, yeah, which feels very Duffine, doesn't it? So
I know, it does so well. They were your grannies. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And they look very sparkly.
Yeah, well, my mum, so when she died, my mum went through all the jewellery. We picked out what bits we wanted ourselves, and then my mum had them resized for Christmas. So yeah, I'm assuming they've had a bit of a tidy up as well.
I love it. Do you know, it takes me back. My grandmother left me her jewellery when she died. She only had my father, always wanted a daughter. So she left me her jewels. There were some lovely bits, but there were also some bits that I can remember now and I don't know where they are. Mm. And they've really come back in.
Yeah.
Come back in.
That's why you have to hold on to it.
Race. I don't know where it is. It makes me a bit sad.
I'm sure it's somewhere. But that's why it's so, you know, you've got to hold on to these things, because it's so, there's nothing worse than looking back and being like, oh, and she had something like that. And I could, yeah. But, you know, it's really lovely. A bit more sustainable. And it's really nice to get something new that is old new.
I agree. I think that's something that really came out of 2020 for me, actually, is sustainability. And my husband's always called me a bit of an eco-terrorist, and I'm not proud of that at all. And in the last few years, I've really changed my attitude towards recycling and plastic. And I'm the first to admit that I was not very forward-thinking in that respect. My children were the ones that really pulled me up on it.
I also think in terms, obviously, you did your house renovation last year, and watching your tour, and I mean, knowing how much you bought, you know, that was vintage or pre-loved or whatever we want to call it, that, you know, and that's such, I really, you know, please God, we'll move house this year. And that's something that I really want to take into that as well. It doesn't all have to be, you know, brand new from a big flashy.
And then you look so much better with something that's got a bit of patina to it. I think it was Rosie Hayes that said that. And it's such fun as well, looking for it.
There's Vinteria, which I spend a lot of time on. And also,
oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, it's an online, I don't think it's an auction. It's, you know, it's like Vestiaire Collective, but for furniture. And also the First Dibs app is like, I probably browse it more than I browse Instagram. It's literally my favorite
thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That said, and obviously we can't do this at the moment, I went last year, God, and the year before to a few antique shops.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Like, there is nothing like going to a little alley or a little, I don't know, just finding a random shop somewhere in the country out of London, because the ones in London tend to be quite, well, obviously you get the dribs and drabs and all the good stuff's gone. But this is nothing like having a good rummage and finding. I remember, I talked about it before, but I remember we were in the Cotswolds and driving through this village on our way somewhere, and I was like, stop the car! And I ran to the shop and came away with this little table and a pair of candlesticks, these crystal candlesticks, and like the four lovely things. And it was totally random. And I put them back in the car and I was like, I don't need to buy these now. But I was like, that table's 80 quid.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful little table.
And it's so lovely, whether it's in your own home or someone, you know, I love watching home tours. And when somebody says, you know, rather than like, oh, this is Zara home and this is West Elm, it's so nice to hear, you know, something that's got a story, whether that's inherited or something you've bought. And, you know, oh, that's a story. There you go. And that will be your story about those candlesticks and that table. And that's so lovely. There's enough stuff out there, isn't there?
Agreed.
That you can really, you know, if you might not want to wear somebody's old clothes, but somebody's old table.
Yeah. Well, I also feel in the last couple of years, you know, people are so much more happy to wear the same thing and hold their heads up high and not just replace and not just keep doing those, you know, Zara sweeps that I used to do every Sunday. And don't get me wrong, we all love a bit of Zara, but I don't know. I just think,
just shopping with a bit more of a conscience. Totally.
What's next on your list?
What did you get for Christmas? Well, you had a big birthday.
I did
not long
well.
Before Christmas as well.
Yeah, I did pretty well last year.
Yeah.
I also, it sounds awful, but I've got to a stage where I really don't want people to buy me lots of rubbish. Mm. You know, my mum gave me a contribution towards something. I've kind of got with a few of my family to a point where we just do a secret Santa and get one nice thing instead of everyone buying a piece of crap. It's something that, you know, you truly like. My husband, I'm like, please don't wrap up a load of different, you know, candles for me or whatever. So he'll sort of get me one really nice candle every year. I got quite a lot of gin for Christmas.
Oh,
none of which I'm drinking, which is really sad. Yeah. I literally got 5 bottles of gin. I got a couple of books. That's always a really good present for me. A bit of beauty, a massage, like all the like classic stuff. Trini inspired me when she came to the studio and I was wearing this sort of cocktail, big gold ring that I'd bought on ASOS a decade ago, I think. Mm. And she said, oh, I love that. Where's that from? And I said, oh my God, it was so cheap and cheerful. And she said, well, why don't you have it made?
A real version of it made.
Anyway, gold is so expensive right now and it's this massive ring. So to have it made would cost a fortune. Anyway, what I did have was this ring I'm wearing on my first finger, which I was sent in the first lockdown. It was by Ella, can't remember. It was like sort of 40 quid. Mm. And I wore it on my first finger and I loved it. And I love wearing platinum of my kind of wedding ring and engagement ring with yellow gold.
Yeah.
But started making my finger go green.
Sure.
I kept it and had it made.
A real one
for Christmas.
Lovely.
Is no longer a 40 quid something. It's now 18 karat gold. And I got to hope that I don't lose it. That was my main present.
Love that. What a nice idea.
Anyway,
that also feels kind of sustainable as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to buy the cheap one. You could just see the cheap one.
So anyway, now hopefully
stick to the real stuff.
Stand the test of time. So nice. Yeah. And I think that's probably about it for me in Christmas. Yeah. My husband kept saying, I want some stuff for you to unwrap. I was like, I don't need anything to unwrap. Don't wrap me up a load of rubbish. Yeah.
And again, more stuff to go in the recycling bin.
More clearing up.
Best trip. Did you make any trips last year? Where did you manage to get to?
I did actually. And we managed to time things quite well last year. We drove to the Alps in France, which was lovely. But then we drove back and stopped in Beaune, which is in Burgundy, which is a wine region. And that was just incredible.
Even with kids?
Yeah. We stayed in this amazing place called the Humble Cyclist, which is run by this English guy. It's pretty rustic. Mm-hmm. But he's mega charming and really looked after us and cooked us amazing food. And there's vineyards all around you. And it is not super glam.
No.
Anyway, it was lovely. We had the nicest time. We drank amazing wine. And we were in the heart of like the best wine in France. And that was incredible.
Amazing.
And we learned so much. How basically there's sort of regions in France and there's one border and that can take the price of wine from sort of £40 a bottle to £120 a bottle. And that's literally determined by where someone like sort of laid the border.
Yeah.
So that was an amazing trip. And then we went to, probably my best was to Verdura in Sicily, which I lost my luggage. We really didn't go. I wanted to come home. I was so cross.
Yeah.
And we really nearly didn't go because of just the world. And we woke up the next morning. I think we woke up at 6. And my husband was like, do you not want to go? Let's not go. And I was like, I don't know. And we so nearly didn't. And then we got there and I had no luggage. And I was like,
it's insane.
We shouldn't have come. And then we just had the happiest holiday. And that place, my husband was just saying over Christmas, he was like, that's the place, there's two hotels in the world that sort of have my heart. And it's Siggy Bay in Amman. And that one, I think it's because we've had such amazing family holidays.
It's the memories, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, probably Verdura. And then I was lucky that I got a couple of trips away in the autumn in between lockdowns. I timed them quite well.
The biggest lesson I've learned now that I will put into practice this year is if you get an inch, take a mile. Like second they release, you know, loosen anything, just go.
Don't go. Watch the movie Soul. Watch the Pixar movie Soul.
Just go.
And live every minute of your life. And again, Beaverbrook, I went with 5 girlfriends. I think it was the day before lockdown, one of the lockdowns, I can't remember. And, you know, we had to be in our rooms at 10, but we sat in the corridor. Do you want to take a last drink up? We sat in the corridor and then we went in and all sat on our beds and we got the giggles and we hadn't had very much to drink and it was 10:30 and we just got the giggles and we had the best time and came back really refreshed. But it was quite a mission to go with childcare and blah, blah, blah.
But it was worth it.
But it was so worth it. So it's so easy to cancel these things, isn't it? But you don't really regret them when you do them.
Fingers crossed for more. I'm really jealous you got your girls' trip. What thing did you like the most in 2020 that you didn't think you'd like?
Look, one could say all the usual stuff, like being with one's family and being at home. And I feel pretty lucky in lots of ways. And I know that not everyone has it as easy. Some people have it easier, some people have it harder. You know, there's always someone with more, with less, with whatever. The thing I realized the most in 2020 is that I'm a really social person.
Yeah.
Some people aren't, and that's fine. And they're quite happy to spend Monday to Friday at home and not doing anything. I'm that's not me. And I like to see my friends, and I'm a sociable being.
Yeah.
I don't do well with 5 nights in a row at home doing nothing, just watching TV. Yeah. It sends me a bit cuckoo.
I'm exactly the same. You know, people always talk about, you know, whether they're an extrovert or an introvert. And I've always been quite sure I'm an extrovert. But you know, people say, oh, you can be an extroverted introvert or whatever. And this has been absolute confirmation for me that I'm only an extrovert and I just need to be around people. Yeah. And I don't, it's not that I don't like my own company. I just don't need my own company.
Yeah.
I don't find it fulfilling. I
like my own company. I like my house to my, I like no one in my house.
Yeah, but I haven't, when was the last time you had that? Because I have had that maybe twice in 10 months.
Not often. Yeah. But, you know, my house to myself in the day. Lovely. I don't really like an evening to myself. No. I don't really like sitting on my own.
And that is what this lockdown, that's what I'm struggling with the most.
I'm only realizing that now. I'm having this conversation. I mean,
yeah, it's the endless nights.
It is the prospect of 6 weeks. And I love my husband to bits most of the time. But the thought of 42 nights.
But this is my point about sitting on the sofa.
42 nights.
But also it's the weekends. It's the fact that then on a Friday night and then on a Saturday all day and then on a Sunday, I just have to see him. I'm the same. I love him. He's fantastic. But you're not supposed to spend this much time with your significant other.
I know.
So yeah, I'm with you.
I'm so happy boring. To spend time with him if there are other friends in the mix.
Or if, yes, exactly. If it's broken up. But this is just, it's too much.
I can't do Zoom quiz. I'm really sorry.
No more Zooms.
No. What about you?
You didn't think you would. Walking. I literally hate a walk. I used to find walking really unfulfilling. If I'd go for a walk with a friend, or I was like, why are we doing it? I'd so much rather be sat somewhere. But now walking the dog is quite, because you see how much the dog gets out of it. And also you get something out of it. Because then the dog will chill the rest of the day. Like, I actually...
Also, do it in the morning, then go home, and then you've got like a pink ticket to just 100% watch some
because
TV.
Because that is has been my like magic. You know the things that you have to do for your sanity.
Yeah.
I cannot wake up, have breakfast, and then go and sit on my sofa. Like that is just a hard no.
Yeah.
So you have to. And I don't mind sitting on the sofa in the afternoon, but I have to do the walk, something in the morning, get out the house, whatever.
That's what we do. Yeah. We're like morning activity, get out, get the children out, late lunch, and then lazy afternoon.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
Backgammon.
What was the biggest thing, I think I know the answer to this, that you missed out on last year?
Well, you're going to say my 40th.
Well, I would have thought so.
I hadn't really planned a 40th.
No, but it's the not being able to do anything.
Yeah, I did all right, actually. I had a couple of girls' lunches a night away.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, I did all right. I was quite spoiled by my friends and family, but it was my week's holiday, Barbados. It was just going to be me and my husband. We booked it in the summer when we thought that by November we'd be able to go away. And I just thought, oh, after what this year has been like so far, that would just be the silver lining. Yeah. And that didn't happen. So that's probably the biggest cancellation.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, we lost a house, which was obviously not great. Oh. But it's fine. It will work out. It'll work out. People say these things happen for a reason. It's January and we're still in off that. But it's fine. We're nearly there. Fingers crossed we're nearly there. Anyway, did you have a highlight? 2020 highlight?
I would say highlight would be all the support that came out of 2020 for Sherlock's. In our own little way, we've got a role to play.
Yeah.
And so that would be my highlight probably for 2020.
Really nice.
Let's finish off with a look to the future. Look at 2021.
It's really weird entering January and not knowing what the rest of the year is going to look like, isn't it? I'm staring down the barrel of a 30th in 7 weeks' time, which is not looking...
I feel like it's been going to be your 30th for a long time. Right. Can you hurry up and be 30? How are you still in your 20s?
I know. Nearly there. I'm quite happy about the turning of 30, but not happy about the lack of set. I feel like I'm being a bit of a child about it, a bit of a baby, but at the same time, it's a bit of a shame to have a big birthday and not be able to do anything.
It is.
So that's a shame. But anyway...
Just plan the party for April and you'll be fine.
It's a shame. Ben is 10 days older than me, so there's like this perfect weekend in between our birthdays. We would have done a big party. We'll be
fine. Plan the party for April and...
Exactly. Get on with it.
You can have a tan and wear something spring, summer and fabulous.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think more, again, it sounds a bit cheesy, but actually, you know, another thing that obviously we all learned last year was to kind of, you know, you can't plan, but to kind of be okay with that and just to take it as it comes. So I'm definitely more grateful for the smaller things. So I'm hoping this year to be able to sit in a room with my parents and not worry that I'm going to kill them and be able to take that holiday with my friends and, you know, just travel a bit more freely and...
Yeah. Thanks, Charlotte. That was fun.
So fun. Thank you.
That's it for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. Stay safe, stay home, dig deep, and we'll be back soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.